All right. Welcome to another episode of the Beyond the Boundary IPL podcast. A little different setting for me personally. I would like to believe that I moved to Bombay to cover the IPL, but I have not. I have moved here for a new job. And yeah, it feels weird recording this from a teensy tiny room compared to my house in Bangalore.
Yeah.
But yeah, Thomas, new recording, new setting. You have taken over the recording duties as well, given my technological handicaps in a new town. But how's everything going?
Everything well. It's the first time we are in different cities when we are recording this as well.
Yeah.
So this is like kind of new era, you know, with the 10 teams here. We are also like progressing with that as well. Like,
honestly, it feels a little weird that we, even though we were in the same city, we never recorded from the same room.
Yeah, that is true. But yeah, I mean, we did start this in 2020, so for obvious reasons. Yeah, so we couldn't really record in the same because of other constraints as well. But yeah,
I mean,
one thing which just fascinated me, I was just watching the Women's World Cup, which is going on, the 50-over one, and it's, the level is just amazing. Like, I was just like, yeah, like, today Australia will run away with it, and deservedly so, because they're just a buzzsaw, but they're like Phoenix Suns, but the level was just too good. Like, I saw the South Africa-New Zealand game, and like, amazing it was. Like, the way the Marzan cap, she reminded me of Lance Klusner, 1999 World Cup, the way she's played. Crazy stuff. Like, the level is of a good level, and I'm just like, why isn't there a women's IPL?
That's exactly the segue that I was probably gonna get at. I think it's about time.
Yeah.
I mean, because if the IPL really wants to sort of stamp itself as the best franchise T20 league in the world, it needs to be more inclusive, especially given the quality of the women's game, right? Because even India as a women's team is pretty good, and they sort of haven't sealed their spot in the semifinals. From what I know, because of the win against Bangladesh, they do have a shot at making it now. But maybe if we have
their
a
favorites.
Women's IPL, that could you know, maybe make India a way more dominant side, like the Indian men's team has become. Because, you know, I was just thinking about this the other day, that even the team that India took to the 2011 World Cup, right? Someone like an Ashwin was a direct product of the IPL, and that's why he made the squad. Even Suresh Raina was like in and out of the Indian team before he became, you know, that maverick with Chennai Super Kings, and then he made that squad.
You could say that Kohli also was fast-tracked much far quicker because of this as well, right?
I mean, because of RCB. I think it was a combination of the RCB and the Under-19 World Cup. But yeah, that's the thing, right? That even though the IPL was, what, 3 years old at that point, it had, you know, there were three clear players in that squad because of the tournament. And since then, if you look at any ICC tournament that has happened, there has been an IPL quota, if I can call it that. Like, someone like a Varun Chakravarti comes directly under that. Someone like a Venkatesh Iyer making the team, Ravi Bishnoi making the team. This all comes through the IPL. So I feel like if there is a women's IPL, it's going to have the domestic women play against, you know, international quality players regularly. And then that could fast track their progress as well. So I think we really need to do this, because the women's game is not gaining as much prominence as it should. And even I'd be the first to admit that I don't end up watching as much women's cricket as I should. I think it's also because of, you know, the way the sport is marketed in this country. It's just not, it's shown at odder timings. It's not, people don't even know that there's a game happening, because even the channels don't promote it as much. So it's you're really looking out for it, you can't really watch it.
Yeah, and one more thing, the IPL is starting in what would be, I mean, the peak of the knockout rounds of the women's game would be World Cup.
Precisely. So you can see how much the BCCI values it.
Right? Yeah, exactly. And yeah, I don't think it's a shock to me, but only the Australian women's team, they're the only fully professional setup. Everyone else, they professionalize like 15 to 20 players. and leave it at that and give them all the facilities. So, I mean, it would be a
great thing. I think that boils down to the WBBL, because the WBBL is the
exactly.
best women's cricket franchise tournament in the world. Because I've covered the WBBL for 3 years while I was at Sony, and it was just a delight to watch that tournament. It was just so good. And I remember when the Indian players were allowed to, you know, they got the NOC from the BCCI. And they went to the WBBL. You could just see the improvement that they had.
The standards increasing, right?
It just went up, because a lot of them, like, initially did struggle, but then, you know, it was great to see them really come to the fore. And yeah, what the IPL is to world cricket right now is what the WBBL is to women's cricket. I want to correct myself, to men's cricket, right? Yeah. So basically, if BCCI, you know, gets even a good 20-30% of their resources together and comes up with the women's IPL. I know they've done it in patches with the, what is it called, the Women's T20 Challenge. But that's not enough. That's a token thing. It's three exhibition games, literally.
Exactly. It's a token thing.
So it's not the way to go. So yeah, I think that's a good note to actually start on. This is probably a plea to BCCI. And my house is about 11 kilometers from the BCCI office, so maybe
you can just like get in your car,
send them a letter,
I didn't
take my car, but yeah, I'll probably take an auto or a local train. So but yes, now getting to the IPL.
Before we start, I think we have to give our thoughts and prayers to you people in Ukraine as well. I mean, because they are also suffering quite a bit, you know, like. For reasons which I don't, if anyone's not living under a rock would know. So
I mean, the thing that shocked me the most though is, so I wasn't completely privy to what happened from a political standpoint. I just knew that the war happened, but when I went into the details of why this war happened, I was kind of torn, because I mean, I don't want to get into the nitty-gritties of it, but it sort of shocked me in terms of how globally countries are run right now. And but you know, at the end of the day, the collateral damage when this these political puppets sort of do their whole thing, the collateral damage is always innocent civilians
borne by the common man.
And like you said, it's just really, really sad right now in terms of what's happening. And thoughts and prayers with everyone in Ukraine. I think the war is closing into its 30th day now. It's almost been here for a month. So I really hope things can improve. I don't want to make this a political podcast, but thoughts and prayers with them. Do you want to jump straight in? So I mean I'm going to keep it super informal now, because I'm coming in with zero pep, because I've been working and doing the dishes and cooking in the morning, and I just got back from work, so I'm actually kind of exhausted. So I'm going to say, hey Thomas, which team do you want to go with first? And then I'm going to pull the squads up on my phone and read it out.
So what we'll do, we'll go by the group wise thing, like, and then I think we'll start with group one. I think that is a Mumbai group. So in that, there is basically Mumbai, KKR, DC, so Rajasthan, and what's that last name? LSG, Lucknow Super Giants.
Got it. Okay.
Yeah.
Wait, so is it Mumbai, KKR?
Yeah. So I'll tell you how they decided to sort these into groups. So what they did was they arranged the teams in descending order of championships and finals.
Okay.
And they put one team accordingly. So it's Mumbai, Chennai. So like that, Mumbai is in group one, Chennai is in group two. So that is their scientific method of making the groups. Damn dumb, but
it could be worse, but yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so should we just start with Mumbai then first?
Yeah. I mean, let's start with a bang.
We start with a bang, and we start with my current home city.
And possibly your current employer's team as well, right? Possibly.
Not possibly, it is.
It is, yes.
Yes. Technically, the way all 10 teams will be dancing in front of the TV saying Jio Dhananathan, if they are owned by all 10 teams. All 10 teams are owned by Reliance, guys. I'm just some part of it. Okay, Mumbai Indians. Okay, first up, I think we did do a little bit of a preview in terms of, but I think one good way to start off is we talk about the players they read in person and then sort of, you know, preview them we post-auction just get a little bit of an idea as to how things are shaping up. And there have been a lot of updates for a lot of teams in terms of the availability of players post the start of the tournament. So yeah, they had retained Surya Kumar Yadav, Karan Pollard, Rohit Sharma, and Jasprit Bumrah. And yeah, I think if you want to talk about a few of their top guys, I think the one has to be Ishan Kishan. And then Jofra Archer was a sly bid. A few interesting buys in, you know, someone like a Devall Brevis and Tim David. I think Tim David is someone I'm really looking forward to see because he's done exceptionally well in most of the T20 franchise leagues except the IPL. But I don't blame him too much. He didn't get too many opportunities with RCB. But yeah, let's just see how sort of things sort of shape up. But yeah, what about you? What sort of... I think both of us were under the same impression with Mumbai Indians that they sort of have built a team this year that is not of, you know, the same glitter, for the lack of a better word. And I think even, going forward from something that Akash Ambani himself said after the auction, in which he said that this year we will try to compete. So I think my understanding of this team has been that, you know, they have retained that core, and I would like to add Ishan Kishan as the fifth player of that core. So they have that core in place. They're probably looking at Jofra next year, and so they have those probably looking at six players as their core for the next, you know, 3-4 seasons, which has Jofra and Kishan, and the rest of them they're just sort of, you know, going at it. It's like, okay, let's try to compete. We have a little bit of a team in place here. But yeah, what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I mean, I think we can just like, we can discount the Jofra thing out of it for now, because there's no point of us talking about him. Like, we just have to talk about him next year, and that is also a doubt. I mean, I am very I wouldn't say negative, but I'm not disheartened also, but you get what I mean. I am not that confident that he will be the same player he was before.
That's true. What, two elbow surgeries later, and he's not played, what, two IPLs now? He's not featured for England in a really long time as well. Because I remember there was a period where he was playing county cricket again, and then he had to get another elbow injury. So we don't know what he's going to be like.
Exactly.
He could be like an Eden Hazard for all you know. Maybe his prime is behind him.
I mean, he's a mystery box. So I think we can safely put him aside. And one thing, I don't think Mumbai will be as impacted by the initial tournament absentees of other teams, you know, like the availability and all that. Because I think all their players, all their foreigners at least are there with them. I'm not wrong. I don't think they're missing anyone. Daniel Sam's
I don't think they should be. Yeah.
Probably Daniel Sam.
Yeah, is Riley Meredith part of the limited overs squad for Australia?
I'll check it out and tell you.
I think so.
Yeah, I'll check it out and tell you.
Yeah, I think barring Daniel Sams and maybe Riley Meredith, I don't think they should be missing anyone, because England is playing a test series right now, right? So Timal Mills is not in that scheme of things.
So none of them are
there. I think they should be fine. Yeah, they should be fine.
Yeah, none of them are there. But I don't know whether that MOU affects them also, because like I think, but I don't think they because they were not selected in the squad. I don't think they're affected as much. So I think they should Mumbai should be okay.
Yeah, Mumbai is completely okay, right? All eight players foreigners.
Yeah, I mean, barring the obvious Jofra exception, but
seven.
So,
I think they're interesting team. Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, so I mean, I wasn't as impressed by them. Even I don't think you were as well. But it's an interesting team, like in terms of what they can do. There's a lot of like unknown parts, like that guy's there. What's his name? The left-handed batsman. they rate very highly. What's his name?
Tilak Verma.
Tilak Verma, and then they have that Sanjay Yadav, who's big. They call him like the next Krunal Pandya. So I'm interested to see how those guys do. So because
And I think they even if Tilak Verma doesn't. I mean, sorry, Sanjay Yadav doesn't work out. I actually think they have the next Krunal Pandya, who's a better fielder and probably a better human being, but is a foreigner in their team, which is Fabian Allen. If they can fit him in, I think they'd be fine. They don't need another Krunal Pandya. They have a... And you know, Fabian Allen's the kind of player who'll do well in this kind of a team. So I think he's someone who's probably flown under the radar in most people's previews as well. You know, everyone talks about Timal Mills and Daniel Sams and Tim David, but no one's really spoken about him. And you know, me, you, and Ian Bishop are founding members of the Fabian Allen fan club.
Yes. So FBFC.
So hopefully he gets a shot.
So
let's just see how things go with him. And they've got Bailey Abey, who is an interesting prospect as well.
Oh yeah, I don't think he'll get much game time because of the composition.
Yeah, I think they honestly, ideally I want think to they're just going to, you know, keep him on the bench for a year, maybe develop him, give him an odd game if they qualify early, which is unlikely. But I think they're waiting for him to, you know, has he played for South Africa yet? I don't think he has.
No, but he's been playing in the
knocking
domestic
on the
tournaments.
Door.
Yeah, based on his talent, I think he should be fast back within a year or two, because based on the current ability of the current, I mean, no offense to whoever's in the team right now, but he has a status, so probably they'll fast track him much earlier.
And for the South African under-19 team, if I'm not wrong, correct me if I am, he batted at 3 or 4.
Yes, he was one down, and he could bowl leg spin.
And who bats number 3 for South Africa right now? Is it Markram?
Markram,
or he's opening.
There's been flux right now, so we really don't know. Like it was Markram for some time, then it was Kemba Bavuma's second game. So we really
it's time to find a mainstay at number 3 for the next 10 years. Maybe just get Devon Brevis into the team.
I mean, you do have to handle him with care. But based on what Mumbai did with Marcus Jansen, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if they played him either. But I don't know, based on what I would go for there, you know, current balance wise, he wouldn't be.
You know what? Let's just go with the playing 11 then, in terms of your playing 11 for Mumbai. I'll just pitch in.
It would be Rohit, Ishan Kishan, then one down. Wait, I sent my teams to you, no? I sent them with Google Fit.
Did you? I think I'd go Tilak Verma at 3. Because of how much they've been talking about him. Even though he didn't have a great under-19 World Cup, but if you look at his domestic numbers, he's a pretty decent batsman. To sandwich between... Tilak Verma to be sandwiched between the experience of Kishan, Rohit Sharma and Surya Kumar Yadav.
So, I see him in number 4. So, yeah, I got my document which I made at the beginning.
Ah, perfect.
Yeah. That big ass one with, you remember, right? Which I sent you.
Oh yeah, yes.
So in that I put
the infamous Sunrisers Hyderabad one.
I went for Rohit Sharma, Ishan Kishan, Kai, Tilak Verma, Tim David, KP, Fabian Allen, J. Devanadkar, Bumrah, Mills, and either Morgan Ashwin or Markhande.
Oh, so you had Fabian Allen in your first 11?
Yes, I had him in the first 11 that's because I put him for obvious reasons, but they probably won't see it that way. But I mean, he is like a Mumbai player, and I probably think he will slot in their playing 11. Like, who else will they play? Like, Dan Sams, I don't think they need an extra pacer. They don't need Riley Meredith either. And who else am I missing? And Devon Brevis for obvious reasons. So unless they're putting an uncapped bowler, they'll probably play. So I think Devon Brevis and Fabian Allen they'll be fighting for that last slot. That's what I would think.
Yeah, I think it all boils down to how ready is Tilak Varma to play at number 3 or number 4? Because honestly, if he's not, right, you can go with the experience of Devall Travis because he was the best player. And you know, Tilak Varma and him, Tilak Varma was part of the India under 19 squad as well. So basically, they're the same age. They bat about the same position, whether that's 4 or 3. But Brevis was the best player in the tournament while Tilak Varma had an underwhelming start. So maybe you can go with Brevis as well and then, you know, have that one foreign bat.
So basically what I would do is, so it's Tilak Varma / Brevis and it would be Fabian Allen / Sanjay Yadav.
So yeah, literally the two. Yeah, those four players are fighting for two slots.
Yeah. So like you slot them accordingly. So one Indian, one foreigner accordingly, and they all bowl in a similar way, except like Travis is a leg spinner, but he turns the ball the same way as a. So all three of them are left armers, left arm orthodoxes. Yeah. So yeah, it makes sense in that way.
Yeah, I think it's a good sort of problem to have in a way. But yeah, again, Mumbai look like a team that. Are in a rebuild stage and obviously they're looking at the future like a lot of the other teams are, but maybe more so when you look at a team like Mumbai. But do you have anything else to sort of add?
Yeah, one more thing.
Do you want to do predictions as well, just to make things spicy?
Yeah, we'll do it in the end. We'll do it in the end, like after everyone. But they're also in the easier group from what I do. They have Delhi in their group. They have they have KKR. They have Lucknow Super Giants and they have Rajasthan. So it's a relatively. And the only drawback they have is the two matches they would play against the team in the other group, that would be against CSK. That is the only thing. So, but based on schedule and all, they have. Like, I think they've been lucky to be in this group because Delhi, initially at least, I don't know that they would be bad, but. I wouldn't put, you know, that.
That's true. You know, because I think you'll be forced to play someone like a Yashdul till Warner comes. So it is a team like you said, right? They have only two foreigners, and we're going to expand on that a little later. Mm. But you're right. I would say Lucknow and Rajasthan do have very good first 11s, but KKR again weirdly balanced. I don't want to say balanced. They're just a weirdly placed team in terms of the amount of money they spend on their first 11. Let's see how things pan out for them. But yeah, I think those two CSK games is probably going to come and bite them given the experience that CSK have. What were you saying?
So what I was saying is I think Mumbai are still well placed based on that to make the playoffs. But if it's a consolidated title like we debated before we started recording, it would be interesting to see. So they could be.
I think it is a consolidated table because I went on the IPL website and that's how they're placed. So they haven't even put out the groups there. I think the groups is just sort of your Bible to tell you what the fixtures are. But the table is going to reflect, you know, on a game-by-game basis for all 10 teams, which I think is the better way to go. I don't think you should confuse Indian fans too much. It's just going to come and bite you. It is, honestly, because it took them, I mean, like I mentioned in the last podcast, it took a lot of my relatives till now, to date, they do not understand how the playoffs work. They're like, wait, what? So, first two teams, loser is not out, then what's the point? And I'm like, yo, they get an advantage. So yeah, I think if they were to complicate it even more, they would be a record sort of a bunch of people who just stop watching the IPL because of how complicated it's getting. Let's see how things pan out there. But okay, do you want to move on to the next team? Who do you want to
go next? So the next team would be KKR. So based on that order.
Okay, yes, cool. KKR.
But I don't think they're
What do you want to say about KKR? I'll tell you what, if that Nicholas Puran bid would have gone through for them, then they would definitely not be Tayyar. Because I think they had bought, 15 players at that point, and they had gone 10 CR for Nicholas Puran. And they had about, 14 or something in their bank at that point. So I think that was a blessing in disguise. But yeah, what was your sort of, conclusion? I don't want to say conclusion, but what are your first thoughts going into the season?
Both were distinctly underwhelmed by what they put up. Ended up with. But yeah, we did like Shreyas Iyer, but like we said, like he's just one guy, and how he manages to, balance the team or whatnot, that is just
true.
I want to see what he does, really, because that will be damn interesting. Because like we said, they have that weird thing, like, and coincidentally, last season they did well because Cummins was out of the team, so. This year they have to play with Cummins,
but they don't have Lockie Ferguson to replace him, right? They don't have Lockie Ferguson this time.
So I'm just looking at the squad right now. So they have to play Dre Russ. They have to play. I mean, Cummins, he'll miss the first three games. Then they brought in Aaron Finch as a replacement for Alex Hales,
which I don't think is half bad a choice. You know,
he's a decent replacement.
Barring CSK. Barring CSK, Aaron Finch has played for every IPL team. You know that? Because this is me considering Pune. Not Pune, sorry. He's played for 9 IPL teams. If you consider the Gujarat team as Titans and Lions, if you just consider them in one sandwich, he has played for 9 IPL teams.
Considering Pune as Lucknow, right? That's
yeah, for good. Now. But if I don't consider that, I'm just saying out of the... What... If I count Kochi as well, out of the 12 IPL teams that have been there, he has played for 9 of them. So, that's quite an achievement if you think about it. It's, I think, Lucknow, CSK and Gujarat Titans, not Lions. These three teams are the only teams he's not represented. No players, represented more teams than Aaron Finch. But yeah, experience, Australian captain, could be a good sort of partnership with Venkatesh Iyer, and he comes in with no pressure.
He'll play though because of the weirdness of the balance of the team.
Yeah, that's true. I think they'll have to go with Jinx.
I think Jinx would be good for that thing because he could replicate what Shubman Gill did for them last season in a more
probably slower strike rate, but
you get what I mean. So yeah, there is that replication, and I think in the right situation, you can use Jinx well. Because he has an IPL century, right?
Yeah, with Rajasthan, yes.
With Rajasthan. So, yeah. He might have a slow strike rate. This could rejuvenate him, and he's also out of the test squad as well. So, I think he'll be putting all his eggs in the IPL basket for the next
year. He has a point to prove,
exactly. Yeah, so... So they have Billings, Cummins, Finch, Shamika,
Tim Southee,
Karunaratne. Shamika, Karunaratne, Mohammad Nabi, Sunil Narayan, Dre Russ, and Southee.
Like you sort of mentioned at the top, Dre Russ and Narayan have to pick themselves, right? Because of as retentions. And given that they are quality players on their team. Then when Cummins is back again, he sort of solidifies the place given the amount he was. Obviously, he wasn't paid as much as he got the last time, but still, 7.25 is quite a big sort of price. So you have those three sort of locked in. So yeah, and then I'm guessing you wouldn't want to go with a Shelton Jackson as your keeper. Fourth foreigner becomes Sam Billings. I think because what that does is it sort of beefs up your middle order as well, and he's an explosive batsman. He's a better keeper than Shelton Jackson. I've not seen Shelton Jackson keep, but Billings has been there at the international level. I think he's represented a couple IPL teams as well. He was at Delhi, he was at CSK.
He's generally underrated according to me. I like what he does in terms of his skill set. So in terms, I think
it's true, and he's a super nice guy as well. I think that just helps, to have a nice person around the team, someone who's funny, sort of reduces, make sure the mood is nice. Given that if you have someone like a Sunil Narayan in KKR who I've never seen smile, right? So, I'm not trying to, point fingers at him. Obviously, he's a great player, but it's good to have different characters in the dressing room.
I think I don't know whether you would agree with me. There are a lot of question marks in this lineup, right? Because it's dependent on a lot of factors. Like, okay, Dallas needs to be fully fit from his time in Dallas. The Dallas Cowboys or Dallas Mavericks? I'm not sure. But,
it's a facility in Dallas, Texas.
Yes.
That is shared by the Dallas Mavericks and the Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah, so like maybe they fixed him a new body over there or something. His knees probably are prosthetic knees or whatever, prosthetic legs or something. I'm guessing here, but it has come to that stage that he is injuries have impacted him, and the reason why people put so much value into him is because of his three key performing. He's a three-dimensional
player. 3D player, like Ambati Raidu, the word he hates the most. 3D. Yeah. Like that? Is that what you mean?
Yes, that's what I mean. Yeah. So if he's not bowling his full complement, that's another question mark. Then Sunil Narayan, there are certain seasons where he's anonymous. Varun Chakraborty, I'm not a big fan of his. And Venkatesh Iyer, he's still unproven, and right now all the teams will scout him out. And I've not been impressed by his Indian outings so
true.
Far. That's what I say. I mean, I would caveat that with he's not been utilized well with India, but still, I've not been impressed by what he's done with India. But hopefully, kicks on from last season, from that whatever seven game sample size.
You're saying Venkatesh Iyer has not been utilized well, or are you saying Varun Chakraborty? I'm sorry, I got a little lost you for a bit.
I'm talking about Venki Iyer.
I think Venki Iyer, I would say he's not been utilized well, but in the last couple games he actually did a good job. I know it was West Indies, but he's sort of now the thing for me, right? This is where when you're KKR, you're not, I don't want to say you're confused, but it depends on what Venki Iyer values, right? Because this is a T20 World Cup year. And the person you are sort of fighting with for a spot in the Indian team is the captain of the Gujarat Titans, right? Which is Hardik. But Venki Iyer has had a good West Indies series, which is going to be fresh in a lot of people's heads. He played a few good cameos, and he's even, balled half decently, like in terms of giving India those two overs.
He bowls, basically. He bowls.
That's what I said. He's giving them those two overs. Exactly. He's basically an Aidan Markram who can bowl fast. Not fast, but like be right arm medium or whatever.
Yeah.
So, like, rolls his arm over. Exactly, precisely that. So, the thing is that if you're Venkatesh Iyer and you're going into the KKR camp and they're like, hey, why don't you continue having the same role that you did last year? But I think I was watching Harsha Bhogde's preview and he spoke about how now Venkatesh Iyer, even for MP, he's playing in the middle order. He's decided to, play in the middle order for them rather than open, because that sort of makes his India chances better. But now KKR have sort of built this team based on Venkatesh Iyer opening. So, exactly. I don't know. I was just a little confused as to what they can do. Maybe they can just open with Sam Billings and Rahane and be like, Venkatesh Iyer to
what
finish.
What they could do is switch around Rana for Iyer and probably do this. So, right now in my 11, I put Rahane, Iyer, Venki Iyer, then the real Shreyas Iyer, this is Rana, Sam Billings, Andre Russell, Pat Cummins, Narayan, Mavi, Yadav, and Chakravarthy. So what I would, what we would ideally do is put Rana as an opener, because I don't think it'll affect him that much. Push Billings to number 4 and put Venki Iyer at number 5. So he could kind
and
of
then you
know
then
finishing.
You go Dre Ras and Narayan and all that. That should work out. But now that's the thing, right? Do KKR value sort of Venki's opinion more than what works for their team? Because if you remember, Rana was opening for them in the first half of, you know, that nightmarish IPL that they had before Varun Chakravarti shut things down. Then that's when they moved to Wanky, right? Yeah.
So I think they should do what's good for the team, what gives them, what maximizes their chances of whatever, because I don't think they should be bothered by whatever. He's just one player among 11. You get what I mean? Yeah. And I'm even though you would want to do that, and one more thing. So if you're slotting him in the middle order at number 5, what we've tentatively done, he's automatically getting less balls to settle it. Get what I mean, right?
Yeah.
So there are so many factors to consider here, because he did well in that particular role last season. So because, I mean, the pressure, new ball, much harder, you can hit through the line much better, and etc. etc. So it's an interesting quandary therein. I want to see what they do. I mean, they do play Delhi or Mumbai. I think it's Mumbai in the opener, so I want to see what happens.
Yeah, it could be an interesting sort of team to see. But yeah, I think one more sort of thing about KKR is that
they're playing CSK.
You know, yeah, no, I know they're playing CSK, but I'm saying, they're playing Did you mention? You mentioned Mumbai before this last time.
Yeah.
But yeah, the thing about them is I feel like they invest way too much in like 12 players, and then, you know, they never have good enough backups. But again, someone like a Venky Iyer has come out of, you know, that sort of scouting network, and I do feel like Baz McCullum did a very good job last year, especially in the second half. We know that, you know, a lot of variables went their way, but I think now what they've done is very similar to what they did in 2011. I think that time they invested, it was 10 or 11 crores, if I'm not wrong, in Gautam Gambhir as the captain for the team. And, you know, they sort of looked at a good 4-5 year outlook. And before that, you know, they were jumping between McCullum as captain and Ganguly as captain. And they were sort of changing things around. So basically, they were banking on players who had entered their 30s and were probably going to retire in the next 4-5 seasons. So I think now what they're doing is very similar to that. And it's the same management. So I don't want to completely count them out. But I do feel like they could have done a better job in terms of their squad building. But yeah, let's see how things pan out, because if you know, all of those things go their way, because if you look at their 4 retentions as well, to begin with, those 4 retentions, all 4 of them have some problem, right? If it's Sunil Narayan, how effective will he be? Because he's a legend when it comes to franchise cricket. But, you know, he has these up and down sort of days, but obviously he does. In the last 3-4 seasons, he's come good on at least a couple of games. And like, you know, come really good. Like take the match away from your opponents. That kind of good. And I think as an RCB fan, you'll know that.
Yes.
The way he's done it. But then you look at Russell, right? Russell has just been so up and down. Will Venky Iyer have the second season blues? Would Varun Chakravarti be fit like Russell, right? Because Varun Chakravarti has also had issues with his fitness.
Exactly.
And so, yeah, I don't know. There are a lot of question marks with this team. Sort of makes you wonder if maybe they could have just gone with Shubman Gill as well. Because he's been their highest run scorer over the last 2 seasons. But yeah, let's see how things go.
Yeah, they remind me of Lakers this season, without what we know now about the Lakers.
Are you saying Shubman is Caruso?
It kind of makes sense. Yeah, probably. Yeah, actually.
Could be. And Talon Horton Tucker would be whoever sucks out the 4 retentions.
I think THT would probably be like Venky Iyer if he doesn't.
Varun Chakravarti or Venky Iyer, yeah.
Yes.
That's true. Yeah, let's see. But yeah, cool. So basically, I think we did touch upon it a little short while before this, in terms of, you know, the foreign players that is an issue, especially for the first week of the tournament. They have only 2 fit foreign players right now. Not fit. I don't want to say use the word fit, but
2 available.
Basically, 2 players that are available. But I did end up reading that Nokia would be available from the third game, which I think is the first week of April. So yeah, let's see how things pan out for them. But I think if you look at their completely fit squad, I think they've done a pretty decent job. And you know, for a few things that stood out for me is David Warner's homecoming. I think Shardul Thakur is a decent investment in the sense that I do feel like their lower middle order could end up being an issue for them. But you know, extending your tail, having someone like an Akshar and having Shardul, it does sort of give them a good sort of balance. But I do feel like Delhi is a team that had a lot of things going their way last season. Sure, they've lost a lot of, you know, key figures, whether that's Rabada or Dhawan or Shreyas Iyer. But I think only time will tell in terms of if the replacements were good or not. But they have retained that core with Prithvi Shaw and Akshar and Rishabh Pant and Anvik Nokia, right? So yeah, what about you? What were your sort of thoughts on
worried about Nokia. So even though he'll come back mm-hmm. to three games, right? That's what you're saying? So he's not played since the T20 World Cup. That was in September, say.
Yes. After.
He's not played for 6 months. And it's a hip problem. So he's a fast bowler. I'm very doubtful. Well, I mean, I have no doubt he'll be good in the future. He could also be good now, but I have my misgivings right now based on his full fitness, understandably so. And if he's not fully fit, that bowling becomes less threatening. That's one problem I have, because okay, if he's not playing, you logically they would go for Ngidi.
Mustafizur or Ngidi, yeah.
Yeah. So they're perfectly good options, but do they strike fear into you like Nokia does? No. So there is that thing. There is that small doubt I have. But otherwise, I mean, pretty solid. But even then also, like, okay, they have Mitch Marsh, but he's not done too well in the IPL.
And he's not bowled in a while, right?
Exactly. So they paid quite a decent...
I would say he's Australia's Hardik Pandya in that sense.
Yeah, but I mean, with him, with both them, it's understandable. But yeah, we get what I mean. I think I understand what you mean. So there is, that. So one thing is, so now the first three games, I think they're going to play with two foreigners. So they have decent enough Indian backups. So I don't think they'll be like that impacted initially. Mm-hmm. But I want to see how they do in the initial game. It'll be damn fun. I think they'll be the first team to play with two partners or whatever. It'll be damn fun this season.
Yeah.
And
because a lot of teams have played three partners, I think, yeah, they'd be the first to go with two.
Yeah, and that will in turn put a lot of pressure on Robman Powell. Right? I mean, I don't think Tim Seifert, he knows his place is... I mean, his place in the team is not that important, but Robman Powell, earlier there was that buffer, right? Okay, I can come after Mitch Marsh, Rishabh Pant, and then do my thing. But now, at least the first 2-3 games, he has to like take a lot of responsibility, because even in the top of the order, they're missing like a Shikhar Dhawan / David Warner sort of figure. So it'll be interesting to see what they do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then if you think about it, it could put a lot of pressure on Yash Dhul as well, because I think when he would have been picked up in the auction, and you know, we knew that it is going to be Warner and Prithvi Shaw opening, right? Yash Dhul must be thinking that, you know what, I may not get an opportunity this year. But now it seems like he's going to be thrown in the deep end, because I think Mandeep Singh can open the batting as well, but I think they would be going with Yash Dhul, given that he he was part of Delhi's youth academy as well. Yeah, but do you want KS Bharat to open the batting?
No, I would put him one down, like what he did with RCB. I mean, it's just a short-term thing. Like, so I think Pona Bharat would come in for Mitch Marsh. Yeah, for Mitch Marsh. Yeah. And who's the opener? I think Mandeep. Mandeep will be the opener.
Mandeep slash Yash Dhol will.
Or Rishabh Pant to open along with Prithvi Shaw. I mean, just putting
why
it out.
Why do you not want Yash? Okay, yeah, that's true. Yeah. Because oh shit, yeah, I think that could work.
Number four.
I know. Yeah, I did figure that out, but he has opened before. I remember hearing a couple of those numbers, but yeah, I think Rishabh Pant could be a good option till David Warner comes back.
I mean, just imagine that power play would be like stonking. Like, I mean, if
pretty insane.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it'd be fantastic.
Or yeah, they could go with the stability and experience of someone like Mandeep Singh. Yeah.
Yeah, true. It's decent.
They've got even in terms of the Indian bowling is pretty decent as well. Like they could go with Khalil Sakaria,
Nagarkoti,
Akshar Nagarkoti. Yeah, they've got some good options there. Even
Shardul.
That's true. Shardul. Yeah, I think he'll have that price tag pressure.
And same is also there.
Sorry?
Same is also there. Sam.
I got it, Vicky. I was like, what the hell are you saying? Is this Bombay internet screwing with my head? But it's Sam. Sam.
Yeah.
But Vicky, I think, yes, same. Vicky Oswal. I mean, I remember him talking about how Jadeja is his inspiration because they're both like very similar players in terms of their skill set. Obviously, not as big a player. But yeah, I think, someone like Lalit Yadav will probably be picked ahead of him. But yeah, I think let me say this. Like, instead of going when they're not fully fit, but when they don't have the full squad available, let's fast forward to the 8th or the 9th of April, where the whole squad is with them. What would be their first 11?
Shaw, Warner, Mitch Marsh, Pant, Rahman Rahul, Lalit Yadav, Akshar Patel, Shardul Thakur, Kuldeep Yadav. I don't know whether Kuldeep Yadav gets in, but he's a spinner.
I think he does. Do they have another spinner?
Exactly.
Play in this team?
Yeah, so they don't have another spinner. So that is one thing. And Nokia and Sakaria, at least the priority. They also have the options of playing Khalil or Nagarkoti instead of Sakaria. I think it depends on who does
better in that period while they're playing 9 Indians. There's a very good chance that all of their pacers get a shot, right? Like maybe Nagarkoti gets a game in that phase. Shardul obviously has to play. Sakaria also probably play, but even Khalil gets a chance, and then they can decide that who would be that third Indian seamer along with Shardul and what's his face.
Oh.
I would say Sakaria. Actually, it's Shardul probably the only pace bowler whose slot seems sorted. But yeah, the third seamer to accompany Shardul and a fit Nokia. So yeah, I think
more interesting thought. They're playing all this in Maharashtra, right? So
Sarfaraz Khan?
No, I wouldn't go there. I'm saying they could play an extra Indian seamer if the wicket is offering a little more for the pacers. They can just go in with Akshar, and Lalit Yadav providing the overs spin. That's what I would say.
So maybe get someone like Nagarkoti or Khalid to play irrespective of the squad. I guess when they have a full squad available as well. Yeah, I think especially in the early part of the tournament, through April, I think they can do that. But in May, it doesn't matter which part of India it is, is going to have the spinners. Because the heat, unless it's... Even Bangalore is hot in May, honestly. I was just thinking that is there any ground that wouldn't be affected? I think every ground would be affected. Mm. So I think that's when Kuldeep comes in.
I think it's a solid squad. I mean, it's a solid squad.
Yeah.
Yeah, and there are no question marks. Very easy to talk about them. Like, I hope everyone's ready. And I hope they do well.
Yeah. Sim.
Yeah, Sim.
Okay, I don't think we have anything else.
Rajasthan, right? There's nothing.
Yeah, honestly, I think it's a straightforward team to talk about, like you mentioned. But yeah, would you want to go to Rajasthan next?
Yeah, Rajasthan. So I think both of us have differing opinions about Rajasthan. I think they're still at the same level.
I think, firstly, I want to give a shout out to Rajasthan's social media team. Excellent work. I think they've been the most entertaining social media team of all the IPL teams so far. I'm not sure if you saw the whole Yuzi Chahal and Josh Butler.
The captain thing, right?
Yeah, Yuzi became captain, and then after that, he did this other basically the Rajasthan Royal admin is supposed to be this super naughty person. It's what the persona that they've done, and they I think Chahal tweeted from the Rajasthan Twitter handle that if a certain post gets 10,000 retweets, he's going to open with Jos Bhaiya. And I just it's just hilarious what that Twitter page is doing. It's oh my god. When I get bored, I think that's something that I open. So yeah, that was one shout out that I wanted to give. But yes, we can get into the squad now. You can go first.
Yeah, so yeah, I mean, luckily cricket is not played on social media, so they're cute. So that way, so if there were a social media championship, they'll be on top. That's about the only thing I would say about.
And guess what? They got the social media champion of New Zealand as well in their team. Now they've got Nisham as well. So it's going to be a match made in heaven in terms of their pre-match, post-match content. But yeah, sorry, get into the cricket now.
Yeah, so I mean, I think they've just like swapped a lot of problems in my opinion. So like I said in the thing, please refer to the post auction breakdown I did. I don't want to prolong that. But it's the level has increased of the overall playing 11 has increased. But
yeah,
I don't know whether it's increased the level that they're a player. That's what I would say. So in my opinion, they're kind of like a borderline 560. In my opinion, they're definitely better than GT, the Titans. They're better. I wouldn't say they're better than Lucknow, but they're still a new team, right? So I don't know what to think of them. So I would provisionally put them ahead of Lucknow. I think they're better than KKR, and they're better than I think Sunrisers. At least provisionally. So yeah, it makes sense. It tracks 5th, 6th domestic. That's what I would think. If it breaks right for them, they could be in the playoffs. But even then also, like based on the group they have, so they have two strong teams, right? So yeah, Mumbai and Delhi, who are quite strong. And KKR, you don't know, they're a little wild card. So they are unlucky in that sense.
Plus yeah, okay, I think both of us
are against RCB as well, so we don't know what they are.
No, I think my opinion of Rajasthan, I do rate them a lot higher than you do, because I think post the auction, even Rajasthan did put up a lot of videos and stuff like that. But I think Sanju Samson himself said that he's, I don't know if this is a product of the auction or it's a product of him being honest. That's a debate that the both of us have had. We're going to get to that when we talk about us. But I think there was this interview of Samson where he said that he wants to play number 4 this time. Now, I don't know if he's doing that because he's eyeing a spot in the T20 World Cup team, right? Because given the current form, it's either Rahul or Kishan opening with... I think it's Rahul. I don't think Kishan makes the first 11 if Rahul's fit. Right, so it's KL, Rohit Sharma, Kohli. And then number 4 is when people are like, oh, is it Sky? Is it Shreyas Iyer? Is it someone else? So I think Samson's trying to throw his name in that hat.
I think even if he plays at number 4, he's still not going to get past Sky and Shreyas Iyer. Because both of them...
I know. But I'm saying in terms of the other position that he plays, which is number 3, right? That's Kohli's position. So I think he sees number 4 a sort of better barrier to breach. Because he recently did make the team again.
Or rather, my dad has a hot take over here. So
yeah.
Kohli doesn't play well in the IPL, he thinks that he could be out of the T20 World Cup squad.
That's balderdash bullshit.
Yeah.
I told him that because you wouldn't
disrespect a guy like that. But in that very doomsday scenario, he possibly gets it. That's what I.
Samson, right? No, yeah. So I think that's what I was getting at. So basically, I mean, I wasn't getting at Kohli, but I'm getting at Samson trying to look at the T20 World Cup. Because, you know, very recently he made the India team once again. And, you know, Rohit Sharma spoke very highly of him. So I think what Samson's looking at is at least making the squad as, you know, the backup number four. Of the team, so let's see where that sort of takes him. So if Samson's keen to play number four, and I think for me the only place where I am a little
can I pump the brakes here? Wouldn't Kishan be a number four because he's also a contender for that, right? So it's
really fair enough. It could be Pantha, so you never know. It's just I'm just saying that if he was to eye the team, which I'm not going to talk about the T20 World Cup as much. I'm just saying if I'm Sanju Samson, what am I thinking when I'm saying that I want to be number four, right? So for me, I think the only problem I have with this team is that
the top four
Devdutt will probably. Devdutt will probably have to play number three. I think one thing that they could do, which would be very sort of harsh on someone like a Yashasvi Jaiswal, is that you open with Jos Buttler and Devdutt Padikkal, which is, you know, I would say a top three, top five opening combination out of the 10 teams, right? Because it's explosive, it has balance. It could be a very fun sort of team to watch, especially both of them opening. And then maybe I'd say top three. Yeah. So then maybe have Sanju at three. And then, you know, you have your maybe play in someone like a Nisham there or maybe promote Hetmyer. So I think that is a problem for them. But if Devdutt can make things work at number three, and you have Jaiswal and Buttler and Samson and Hetmyer and maybe play someone like a Jimmy Neesham. And then I think in terms of two spinners playing together in one team, I think they have the best, which is Ashwin and Chahal. I know that Ashwin hasn't been as good in the IPL in the recent years, but I think he's a very smart cricketer to have. And I can't wait for the... I think Rajasthan's played the whole Joss Ashwin thing beautifully as well. I don't want to say Mankading because I think the ICC rule book has also had that sort of taken off now. And you know, someone like a Jos Buttler Trent Bolt and Prasidh Krishna, I think they have a very good first 11 in my opinion. And I think for me the main sort of thing that I want to I am skeptical about is Devdutt at three, and I'm also very skeptical about Riyan Parag. I'm not sure how well he'd do, and you know, was it? I know 3.8 crores isn't too much money, but will he be good in that role going forward, or do you just invest in having more foreign players in that position? Play a Nisham, maybe get a Darrell Mitchell. To extend that batting order, so and maybe a Rasi van der Dusen, one of them. So I think they've
basically
done
that fourth partner.
They had a good auction.
Yeah,
it could be Coulton Isle as well, right? Because they closed the auction really well in terms of their foreign backups. I think they got Darrell Mitchell, James.
I don't think they closed it well.
Rasi van der Dusen.
They panicked bought a lot. That's what I said.
No, but these are good buys, man. Like, honestly, I feel like they closed their foreign picks better than Punjab did. I think Punjab just screwed it up and realized, oh, shit, I think we bought too many Indians. We can't buy an eighth one. an eighth foreigner. So,
I mean,
I think it's a good thing.
That sense. See, think of it. I mean, I don't think so now. Their three foreigners are Bolt, Buttler, and what's his name? Hetmyer. So these three are nailed down. So they were literally with these three till the end of the auction. That's when they bought the other guys like NCN, Obed McCoy, Mitchell, and all that. So is that planning or is that, I don't know, taking with the best
available players? It doesn't matter if it was planning or taking the best available players, because I think now look at someone like a Delhi, right? Right now they have two foreign players available. Okay. Even look at someone like a Punjab. If it wasn't announced that the South African players who have been selected in the IPL are part of the test team are not going to play in the test squad. They're all going to come right after the third ODI that is happening. At the time of recording, it's happening tomorrow. Punjab would have only four foreigners. That sort of puts you in a sticky situation. If one of them gets injured before the game starts, you don't have any backups. So I think, I don't know too much about Ovid McCoy. I think we spoke about him a little bit when we did our Rajasthan post-auction analysis. But, Daryl Mitchell, Nathan Coulter-Nile and James Neeshama are very good backups. So I think they've done a good job. I know even you sort of touched upon that. But I don't think, for me, they're above the sixth best. Actually, you're going to have a few surprises for me when I come to my predictions later. But yeah, I think that's about it for Rajasthan for me. But, I think one thing that has really concerned me about Rajasthan in the past is that they've not had a good bowling attack in terms of, like, the Indian players. And I feel like they've done a much better job this time. Because, that Indian core in terms of their bowling is going to be Ashwin Chahal and what's his name? Prasad Krishna. I was going to call him Stiddy because that's his Instagram handle. I was just like, don't say Stiddy. But yeah, I think those three along with Trent Bolt and then, they have Riyan Parag contributing. They could have someone like a Navdeep Saini play as well. So yeah, I think it's a very good balanced squad and I think they could do very well this year. For me, they could make the playoffs as well. They have a good chance.
I'm still unconvinced by them. Because, I would say that, everything should break right for them. That's what I would say. I'm not that, like, if you think of it, in logic, makes sense, but that fourth partner spot, it gives me a lot of pause because of that fourth partner slot, that the balance of the team is gone and they are literally forced into playing Priyan Parag because he can play in that whatever lower middle order role and they paid quite a bit to bring him back. So those
but they could have someone like, that's the thing, right? The fourth foreigner spot's not decided, but you could have Jimmy Neesham who does that role for New Zealand, year in, year out, where he finishes games for them. So I don't think it's too much of a problem, to be honest.
Jimmy Neesham to have someone. Can I rebut the Jimmy Neesham point? Jimmy Neesham, no offense to him. He's not gotten a consistent IPL. I mean, he's not gotten the playing 11 of IPL teams because he's a replacement level player for him. That's the thing I'm saying. Daryl Mitchell, he's not played in IPL yet. Coulter-Nile, he's injured. He's an injury prone player. And who else? Obed McCoy, he's interesting. And I think Rasi van der Zugelsen would be interesting, but that just log jams the head. Top four even further. It's not an easy thing. So that's my. So like ideally, what I would do is just chuck Yashasvi Jaiswal, put in. Bring in. I don't know who they think is good in them. They might have some good young Indian batsmen, I guess. So make DDP and Butler open, then bring in Rasi.
Maybe have a Karun Nair coming into the team then.
Yeah, so what I want Rasi to come in because I think he is their fourth best partner. And have you seen?
Yeah, no. I mean, of course, even I do. But you mentioned an Indian batsman, which is why I said Karun Nair.
Karun Nair. No, so ideally, I would want this guy to bowl a bit. Bat a bit. I mean, he's like gives you like.
You so you want a Venki Iyer in Rajasthan Pop?
Not a Venki Iyer. Basically, a guy who can give you like two overs, like a Markram level bowler. That's what I would say. Who predominantly bats. So basically, my four partners are Hetmyer, Butler, Bolt and Rassi. So I don't know their other Indian local
talent. Yeah, I mean they have two Indian all rounders, Shubham Grewal and Anunay Singh. So I have no idea about their numbers, but hopefully they meet your criteria.
Yes, yeah, somebody like that. So I don't know what they do, but somebody like that, like take the KKR route, wherein they play with 10 players and put one random guy in the playing 11, like I think Kusing or Sheldon Jackson.
Kusing.
Yeah. So
yeah, placeholder.
So that makes them better, I feel. I like that little more, but I don't know what they're going to do. Because if DDP is batting at number 3, that's a travesty. Let me tell you. Because if they're trying to accommodate, what's his name?
Yashasvi Jaiswal,
who's had, who's been inconsistent in his two IPL seasons, and you contrast that with DDP, who's basically been RCB's top scorer across both the seasons, and you're trying to bat him out of position just to play.
I feel like that is one thing that is really turning you off, isn't it? That DDP may have to bat him.
Exactly. And
because even for me, that's been a problem. But yeah, let's see, man. I think it could, for me, DDP is way more class than Yashasvi Jaiswal, right? So I feel like he could, class players do sort of, like if you are looking at the balance of that team, maybe you say that if DDP can give me some sort of, like a good, solid start at maybe even at number 3, even if he plays there, I think you would rather have DDP at 3 than Yashasvi, or you drop him, or you never know. Even Butler has a decent sort of ability to do well at number 4. So maybe you open with Yashasvi, and with DDP you have Sanju at 3, Butler at 4, because he's played in the middle order as well before. Yeah. So there are a lot of permutations and combinations that they can go with. And they have Rassi Vanadusen, who even for me is their fourth best foreigner. But
you know what his average in ODIs are? What is Rassi's average in ODIs?
I don't know, but I know it's pretty high.
It's 77.
North of 40. I was going to say north of 40. Oh my 77. God, 77. How many games has he played?
35 ODIs.
Holy shit. That's pretty amazing. Yeah, but I mean, it's not the same format. But yeah.
Yeah, not the same
format. I get what you're saying. I know he's a class player. Like, I think they had gotten him as a replacement in the first leg of the 2020 season. 2021 season.
Exactly.
Yeah, and then I think they went with Tabrez Shamsi and Evan Lewis and yada yada yada. But yeah, I think I think that they're pretty decent side. Okay, now what's the last team we have on this group? Is that Lucknow?
Gujarat Titans. Oh no, Lucknow. Sorry, Lucknow.
Yeah, LSG. LSG is very close to PSG.
Yeah. So make of that what you will.
Yeah. Same amount of money. But I think now, so now I think it's pretty funny that these two teams in a row, I rate them higher than you do. Right? So whether it was Rajasthan and this team as well, because I feel like Lucknow have, again, they have a great, great first 11. I think I'm going to put this out there. They have the best opening pair in the league, which is KL and Quinton de Kock. I think for many reasons, you know, because KL's like captain, he can keep, and then, you know, I don't think he'll keep because Quinton's the better keeper. So just go with Quinton. And yeah, I think both right hand, left hand, explosive. Both of them can play anchor roles. They can be explosive as well. So yeah, I think it's a great sort of opening pair to have. And then you have Manish Pandey to follow. And then you have those barrage of all-rounders, and not just any all-rounders, quality all-rounders, whether that's Stoinis or Holder, Krunal. So yeah, I think they're a very well-balanced squad. But I think they lost Mark Wood, right? Mark Wood was a part of Lucknow.
Yes, it was Mark Wood. So that changes the equation. So right now they have Dushmanta Chamira when you put it out there, okay, it makes sense. But again, like, okay, KL and QDK, they are like, sure, it's that you'll guaranteed get like 1,000 runs between them. over the course of the season.
Yeah, yeah. I think 800 plus minimum.
Yeah, so I think 1,000 is a better estimate, because I think because extra teams are there, so depending on who they're able to feast on and all that, I think 1,000 is a very easy assumption. 500 each, 500 by 14. Yeah, it makes sense. They're definitely, yeah, and yeah, both of them are, they're not explosive battles. They don't get out that easily. They can accumulate, they can attack. So you're getting 1,000 runs there. Now, Manish Pandey, I think he'll do well. That's my personal thing. But will he do well? That's a question mark there.
Okay. I don't think he has to do extremely well, right? Because for Sunrisers, there was like too much relying on him, because Sunrisers' biggest weakness was their middle order, right? Like once it's Manish is gone, you have, you know, you did have Holder in that team, but you had your Priyam Gargs and Abdul Samad, and like it was a very weird middle order. It was youngsters, Abhishek Sharma, which I feel like is still a problem because Sunrisers still has the same middle order. They've just added Aidan Markram into that equation. But like coming back to Lucknow, I feel like Manish Pandey, the advantage he has is that you have someone like a Stoinis, and then you have a Holder, and then you have
they have a squad
and take a quick look at Lucknow. But
yeah, so I'll just tell you looking at it. So I don't think Marcus Stoinis is, I'm not a big fan of Marcus Stoinis. Let me put it out there. I think you're a tad more optimistic about him, but I think he's not been like a who you need to have. He's like a IPL superstar. He's definitely not been that, and he's very inconsistent. Okay, he'll come in at number four. Deepak Hooda, again, I'm not too thing on him. He's a perfectly fine Indian filler batsman. That's what all-rounder you would say in this case. Krunal I like, but again, he's also coming off the back of a couple of poor seasons. Jason Holder is a good thing. Ravi Bishnoi is good. Now, based on what I've put in my playing 11, I have Shahbaz Nadeem playing number 9. Then I have Avesh Khan, and I had Mark Wood earlier, but now it will be Dushmanta Chamira. So, the winner...
Or whoever replaces him, right? You have...
Blessing.
Yeah. I mean, that's what reports say that he's coming, but yeah, on the website, there's no official confirmation.
So that bowling attack, if you look at that bowling attack, so Ravi Bishnoi, you know that he'll either develop more or he'll be at the same level, which is quite good. So their four overs are covered. Jason Holder also, you can rely on him for four overs, 8 overs there. Avesh Khan, he's coming off the back of one good season. Did he play in the 2020 season as well, Avesh Khan?
He did.
Okay. Yeah, but Avesh Khan had the advantage of being surrounded by two gun bowlers in KG and Nokia. In this stage, he's probably the leader of this attack. Probably Holder will shoulder some of the responsibility, but right now he needs to shoulder a lot of the thing. And because whoever's replacing Mark Wood will be less experienced than him, so I also you can pencil him in for another reliable four, but last 2 years he had that freedom, right? Which you have the margin for error when you have a Rapada up here alongside you. You don't have that this year, so I want to see what he does with that. So again, there is a question mark. That's why I don't like them as much, because in isolation, if you look at the playing 11, like at the surface level, it seems good. It seems well covered in places, but then if you look at it, pick at it, like pull a few threads here and there, you're able to see, you know, okay, if this guy doesn't do well, so I'm doing this for every team, but I mean more so for Lucknow. If their openers are doing damn well, and whatever, Stoinis and Holder has a great finishing thing, I think they're a good batting lineup. But again, that bowling, I'm not that sold on it. I don't know about you.
Yeah, I agree that in terms of Mark Wood not being there, that really changes things. Because, you know, I felt like Mark Wood, Avesh Khan, you know, Stoinis, Holder, giving you those, I would say 6 overs between the two of them. And then, you know, having Krunal, That and then yeah, maybe now the Shmanta Jamira coming in for Marco does change things. But I was just going through that squad and I feel like maybe, I don't know, maybe Ankit Rajput comes in, because Ankit Rajput's most successful season was with KKR under Gautam Gambhir's captaincy once again. But yeah, obviously it's not as great a bowling attack. I think the only way this bowling attack works is if Holder can ball in the death like he's done for West Indies over the last 6 months. Then, you know, you have Avesh and him closing the innings out. But yeah, I do see them having problems with a new ball, because Ankit Rajput can swing the ball up front, but they don't very seem expensive. To. Very expensive, though, yes. So, that is a sort of a weakness. Yeah, I'm not sure. Yeah,
and one more thing, that the squad depth is poor. Like, I mean, like, so based on, so now they invested a lot on Deepak Hooda. If he doesn't pan out, who's going to replace him? Probably Krishnappa Gautam, I guess. I mean,
Manan Vora, maybe, if they can, like, you know, move things around.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I think if Deepak Hooda doesn't do well, they probably have Vora batting at four, or batting, or maybe Manish batting at four, Vora going at three, because he's an opening batsman. But I don't see any of the openers getting displaced right now. But yeah, again, like, see, the thing about, for me, the thing is that I actually rate Rajasthan more than Lucknow as well. But
yeah,
I
definitely
like
Rajasthan. Like, Rajasthan, there is, so, like, even though I have misgivings about them, there is a little cohesive thing with them. Like, you know, okay, like Ashwin and Chahal, they bowl together for India. There is a chemistry over there. Then, like, your, I mean, Prasad Krishna, I'm not the biggest fan of him, but there is some, I mean, I think Avesh Khan is a little better than Prasad Krishna, by the way. I'm not saying that. But Trent Bolt is a very solid IPL bowler than who else. Just that they have those, I mean, if they just get rid of that, I mean, if they can just stop relying on Yashasvi Jaiswal, that team is much, much better. In this, yeah, I mean, they're okay, I guess. I mean, and plus we don't know how this new management goes. And then, like, you had this thing, right? If Lucknow fucks up, we know that it's KL Rahul, which is behind Punjab.
Yeah, I think that's one thing I'm looking forward to.
Yeah,
if that does happen, because yeah, I mean, I think yeah, I do like this team, and not only. Maybe it's the Rahul and the, what's his name, Bishnoi and the Andy Flower bias in me speaking as well, because I know that all three of them are really good at their jobs. But I think Mark Wood leaving getting injured has really thrown a spanner in the works. But
okay, so let me put this question to you. Okay,
yeah.
So they're in this group, right? In this Mumbai, DC, are they better than Mumbai? No, right?
On paper, yeah, I would say no, because of the Mumbai probably still have a much better bowl.
Yeah, they're not better than Delhi. I'm talking about fully fit Delhi. I think Nokia makes them less dangerous, but even then also, I don't think the drop off is that drastic. I think they're less dangerous. I mean, they're worse than Delhi. I would put them at a par with KKR, but even then also, because KKR, they're this very unpredictable side. Last season only we saw what they're like, Jekyll and Hyde in one particular season, so you don't know what to expect from them. So at the moment, I would put them even with KKR because of that. And I think Rajasthan is marginally better than them. So they're right now in that group, they're fourth, tied for fourth. That's what I would say. And that's without considering the other team.
Made the playoffs for sure. But yeah, let's see. I do agree with you in that sense, because they have very good batting depth. But I'm not too sure about...
Is it apparent depth or real depth? That's one more thing. I have to look at.
But why not? Like, okay, let's just, like, you know, break it down then, right? So you go KL, Quinton de Kock, Manish Pandey. I would actually have Deepak Hooda at four. Then I would go Stoinis. I would go Holder. Then go Krunal. And if you, instead of having a Shahbaz Nadeem, if you have Krishnappa Gautam, right? Then you at 8 you have, you know, like a till number 8 you have like good hitters. Then who are the three bowlers that they can go with, right? They Bishnoi has to play. Avish Khan has to play, and no, I'm saying these three don't bat, but you have 8 solid batsmen. So yeah, I think it's a good team in the sense that then you have Krishna Gautam who bowls, you have Krunal who bowls, you have Holder who bowls, you have Stoinis who bowls. So in that sense is what I was talking about, that they have, you know, good sort of 3D players, and that sort of does give them options. But yeah, I think they did spend a huge amount of money on Mark Wood, and it's a shame for them that they couldn't, you know, go ahead and have that best first leg.
And exactly, and they paid quite a bit for Mark Wood. They could have gotten any. So if you were to hypothetically replace that, what, how much they paid for Mark Wood for KG Rabada, that makes this team pop. You get what I mean, right?
Oh, but you know where KG Rabada is.
So yeah. Yeah, I know. I'm just saying. I was just putting a name out. Or Trent Bolt. That makes this bowling attack pop, right? I mean, Mark Wood was not the savior that they purport him to be. Because that's the point I was trying to make. But yeah, I think they are an interesting team, but I really want to see it, their conceptual thing come. They're a theoretical team. That's what I think of them.
Yeah. Yeah, I think, post this sort of post-mortem that we've done, given that, you know, the IPL's now and just going through their squad, I am seeing a lot more cracks than I did before I started. I think Mark Wood really has changed.
With Rajasthan, the way you, like, when you put it out there and when I looked at it also, like, I could see there were pathways for them to be better. You understand what I mean? With this team, they're good, but are they good enough? And the group that they're in, and a lot of factors, I mean, that's my problem with them. And plus, their squad depth is garbage. No offense to whoever's outside the playing 11 or whatever.
Yeah, I think they'd just be sort of hoping that they can use that 10 crores from Mark Wood next season ASAP and buy maybe 2 bowlers for 5 apiece. And have someone to support Arvish. But yeah, let's see.